Hi, everybody. How are you? If you don't know Beth Moore, you ladies are going to love it. And Bessie, stand up, please, and wave at us. Bessie Long is going to be the moderator for that. You love Bessie. And Phil Robinson is going to be doing the men of honor for the guys in the bubble room. So it's going to be awesome for the month of August, and hope that you'll check that out, okay? It's great to see you this morning. I know that you're living in victory, right? No matter what comes your way, you got to believe that God is for you and not against you. You got to get up in the morning and tell yourself that, because most of the time, circumstances will tell you the opposite. That God doesn't love me, God's not for me, God's mad at me, God's trying to hurt me. You know those are lies, right? Yesterday we had a glorious time here with Roland and Nicole. They had a wedding here. It was great. What a wonderful time, wasn't it? Wow. While we were here, we get a text message. They said, Pastor, building 1, building 2, and building 3 in Lorain campus is flooded. I went, praise the Lord. The devil's a liar. And interestingly, in our sanctuary there on the other campus, water was right up to the front row from under the platform. And we thought, well, you know, Jesus is Lord. Well, we had church there this morning. Praise God. Amen. And no smell. Thank God for that. So, you know, things happen, right? Look at somebody and say, things happen. All right, get up on your feet. Go find 2 or 3 people and say, God will make a way when there is no way. Come on, come on, come on. God will make a way when there is no way. Come on, God will make a way when there is no way. God will make a way when there is no way. Come on, you need to tell somebody that. You need to hear it. God will make a way when there is no way. I believe that with all my heart. As a matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah said the very same thing in chapter 43 in verse 16. He said this, Thus says the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. So God does make ways. So when you're up against the wall, look for the way. Look for the way out. God always gives a way out. God always makes a way when you're in trouble, when you're in a situation or a problem. Don't ever think that it's over, because it's never over when you're in covenant with God. You know, sometimes it's easy to get negative. Has anybody here ever become negative? All right. Few of us, right? A couple of you have never. Some people have never been negative, and we honor you and worship you, huh? But most of us have been a little bit negative from time to time. Especially when circumstances turn on us, like they give you a call and say the buildings are flooded. What do you want us to do? Well, I don't know, you know, divert the water, get a shop back. What do you do? You know, you praise the Lord. But many times we get negative and our thinking changes. Because when negativity faces us, our thinking adjusts to the negative around us. You don't just wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to be negative today. You really come to the day with the hope of it being a good day. But then circumstances come that are negative, or people or whatever, and it has a way of infiltrating your thought processes and adapting your good thoughts into not so good thoughts or negative thoughts. And suddenly now the negative has got on the inside. That which was on the outside has got into the inside. And it becomes possessive. Now, you see everything from the negative side. But God said this, I'm going to make a way in the sea and the path in the mighty waters. Now, when I read that, I think, God, you know, that's cool, but can you make it a little easier? Because making a way in the water doesn't make sense to me. Because how do you walk through an ocean? How do you walk through mountainous terrain? God, you know, your ways sometimes are difficult to understand. But he does say he's going to make the way. Because when we face impossibilities, It's easy to get discouraged. There's sometimes that discouragement sets in on me, and I could always tell it creates a mood in my life. Do you ever get a discouraged mood? You get kind of quiet and disassociate and sullen, and you kind of stare off into space thinking there's something's going to jump up out of the air and make you happy again. Like, what's going on? Oh, I don't know. And you always say, well, I don't know. And in fact, you do know. Because God before you, who could be against you? But we're all going to face situations that seem to be impossible. And thoughts that are going to say, this isn't going to work out. When those thoughts come, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to rely upon the God that created heaven and earth. Is there people in here that believe with me that God created everything? All right. Do you think on the seventh day when God sat down to rest, that he gave up his creative genius, put away his creative powers in a closet, never to take them out again? Or do you think that God just might do some more creative acts? Well, I do. I believe that God is in a creative mode every day of our lives. And if that be the case, listen to what Isaiah 45:2 says. He says, I will go before you. Now, that's good to know. Because when you get a call that all your buildings have flooded, well, not all, building 4 didn't flood. We have 4 buildings on campus in Lorain, 80,000 square feet. So, 72,000 flooded. Praise God, 5,000 was dry. Hallelujah! It's easy to allow that to begin to possess you and to nullify the fact that God's a creative God and he could work out for your good in a seemingly difficult or bad situation. All I know, ladies and gentlemen, is this morning we had a glorious time in the presence of the Lord. Hundreds of people gathered together and it was just normal inside the sanctuary. How that happened? I don't know, but God made a way. But before I got there, I have to realize that God was there before anybody ever saw that flood. Or God was there before anybody notified me. God got there before I ever showed up. Know this, that God's not caught by surprise. No matter what you're facing, he didn't go, oh no, now what are we going to do? You might have said that, but God will never say that. Do you believe that? Say amen. Say, I believe that. Because he's a creative God. He said, I'm going to go before you, watch this, and make. Can you put that verse back up? Isaiah 45:2. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way. That's Isaiah 45:2. That's Isaiah 43:16. If you could, that'd be awesome. And listen to this. I'm going to make the crooked places straight. Now, I have to tell you, in 30-some years of pastoring, I have met some of the most crooked people in church. I don't know about you, but have you ever met anybody that was crooked? Now see, you're defining that word as being immoral or unethical or, you know, some kind of moral failure or something. No, I'm just saying you're just crooked. You need to be straightened out by God. Sin has a way of warping us, doesn't it? We all came in crooked, but how many know that God can make a crooked place straight? He'll take your life and straighten it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us came in and we were all crooked and we were all twisted and we were all out of alignment. Why? Because of our past life, our experiences, maybe alcoholics, maybe drug addicts. Maybe we came in with bitterness or anger, unresolved conflict in our life. Maybe our sexual identity was in confusion. We didn't know what was going on. We came in crooked. I love it that God loves to make straight the crooked places in our life. Just know this, if some stuff got crooked overnight, God's going to show up before you and he's going to straighten it out. Come on, tell your neighbor he's working on it right now. He said, I'm going to work on it right now, this very moment. Now, I want you to say this with me. If you can put it up on the screens, and some of you might be here thinking, what in the world? Why is that guy making me talk in church? Well, you know, it helps us if we can just declare it. It says, before you had this problem, God already had the solution. And I want you to know, when you got up this morning and you got the phone call or somebody told you about a thing or you discovered something that went awry, Before you even knew you had a problem, God already had the solution. Let's say it together. Ready? Before you had this problem, God already had the solution. See, God's working on it. That's what you got to get in your mind. God's working on it. Listen to what Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 reads. For it is God who works in you. I like that. God's working it out. God's working in me. God's working in my family. He's working in my church. He's working in my situation, both to will and to do His good pleasure. He's working to will and to do His good pleasure. Look, I don't know how He's going to do it. All I know is God's gone before me. I don't know what I'm going to do with this crookedness in my life. All I know is God has the ability to straighten it out. I'm not sure what the answer is, but before I knew about the problem, God already had a solution. I just want you to know that I may be down, but I'm not out. I just want you to know this morning that I may be looking at some impossibilities in my life, but be of good courage. Be of good cheer. God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And the solution exists. If the problem exists, how many know the problem solver exists as well? Get your eyes off the problem and get your eyes up, be able to see the solution that God has for you. You know, if we'd start talking about the solutions as much as we did the problems, maybe we'd see a turnaround. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just trying to encourage you today. God's for you. He's not against you. God's working in your life. And nothing caught God by surprise this morning. Psalm 139, 16, one of my favorite scriptures. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. I want you to know, and look at me this morning, your life is going to end in a storybook fashion. God doesn't write horror stories. Your book is not a novel of tragedies after tragedies. You say, well, Pastor, I've had problems and I've had tragedies. Listen, I understand that. But the end of the story, I've read. God has already forecasted. He said He's working on your behalf and He's going to bring a solution to the problem that you're facing. See, the devil thought you're going to quit in chapter 3. He didn't realize that there were a bunch more chapters left. He thought that we'd walk away. But because you got faith stirred up in your heart and you realize that God's still a creative genius, that He can make a way out of no way, I'm just going to go on to chapter 4. I'm going to let chapter 3 go, and I know that things are going to get better in the next chapter of my life because God is a faithful God and He's working it out on my behalf. He's working it out on your behalf. Philippians 4:7, one of my favorite scriptures. I use it all the time in my life. If you've ever gone to a baseball game, and it's kind of humorous to me, you get these individuals that hit the ball and they run to the base and the umpire's there and he says, he's safe. And then the opposing manager comes out of the dugout. Have you ever seen that? They come out of the dugout because the fielders are yelling at the umpire. And so they know that if they don't stop, they're going to get kicked out of the game. So the manager comes up, pushes them off, and sometimes they're within an inch of each other's jaw. He was safe. No, he was out. He was safe. No, he's out. He was safe. That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen you say. It doesn't matter what you say to the umpire. He already said he was safe. Sometimes those managers will kick dust on the shoes of the umpire, and they'll spit on the ground, and they'll rant and rave. But eventually, guess what has to happen? The game goes on. And what changes after all the ranting and raving? Nothing. The manager goes back to the dugout and the runner stays on the base. This is exactly what Proverbs 4:7 says. And the peace of God, read it with me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the Greek, it literally means the peace of God will act as an umpire. In other words, if God called you safe, I don't care how much the devil rant and raves, you're staying on the base. If God's called you healed, I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care how weak my body gets. I'm still staying on the base of healing. It doesn't matter because I permitted the peace of God to be the umpire over my life. God, you call it the way you see it, and I'll adjust. I'm not going to back up and I'm not going to back down. Amen. Say, the peace of God surpasses all understanding will be my umpire. Amen. It'll be your umpire. Listen to what Proverbs 4 and 18 says. The path of the just. The path of the just is as the shining light, and it shines more and more into the perfect day. In other words, my day is getting better. I'm getting a brighter outlook. Sometimes in Ohio, it's hard to see the brightness of the sun. You wake up in the morning and there's this gray overcast. That's sort of the way it is circumstantially. But you got to realize that the sun is shining above that cloud deck. You need to realize that the path of the righteous is growing brighter and brighter in each day. God, I know that you've already got a solution before I even discovered this problem. Father, I realize that the peace of God is like an umpire in my life. He makes the call and we all adjust to what how you see it. I'm not going to let opposing elements try to talk me out of what you've called as good, or what you have called as healed, or what you have called as provision. I'm going to just trust you. I'm going to agree with God. See, it matters not if you can't see the way. Come on. It matters not if you can't see the way. Or, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. God gives me a way and I'm like, I don't like that way. Do you have another way? Have you ever had God give you a way and you're going, I don't like that way. Sometimes God makes a way in this mountainous terrain, these rocks and crags and crevices. And it's like, God, why would you want me to try to go through that way? He said, listen, don't worry about the way. The way that I've chosen for you is the best way for you. If you don't think you can walk that way, then what I'll have to do is change your feet. Did you know the Bible says in Proverbs 18:33 or Psalm 18:33? Come on, look at it. Say it with me. He makes. Can you imagine? I come to God. He shows me the way. There's no way I could travel that. And all of a sudden, boom, I've got deer feet. I'm like, dude, this is fun. Yeah, you want to try that? Look, he'll make your feet like deer's feet, hind's feet. He will create the way and he will create the ability for you to walk in the way. Don't you ever think you can't. Don't you be able to convince yourself that this is not a way out for you. This is absolutely the best way possible. Biblical archaeologist. How many have ever heard of him? His name is Ron Wyatt. One person. Well, let me tell you about the biblical archaeologist by the name of Ron Wyatt. You know, it just bothered him when he thought about the millions of people that were trapped up against the Red Sea. Mountainous terrain, Egyptian army coming. He said, God, how in the world can 2 million people plus cross through the Red Sea on dry ground? That doesn't make any sense. So he started looking for a region that matched the biblical description. Lo and behold, he found it. This is back in 1978. Now understand this. He located this canyon with a wide beach known as the Wadi Watir. And it perfectly fit the biblical description. The beach was wide enough to accommodate 2 million plus people to camp on. The mountainous ranges were exactly as described in the Bible. So he and his sons went scuba diving to find what they could find. And guess what they uncovered? Chariot wheels. Isn't that odd? They found chariot wheels. Now, they thought, these can't be. What if they, oh my gosh, what if these, No, shut up. These cannot be the chariot wheels. Maybe they are. And with great excitement, they take these chariot wheels to the authorities, the director of the Egyptian antiquities. And here was their finding. They announced that they were from the 18th dynasty, the exact correct time period for the Exodus of Israel out of Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel God make a way. I'm like, whoa, God, that's pretty awesome. But now here comes a really interesting part. Come on, look at somebody and say, that was good, but it's about to get gooder. Come on. Did you know the Red Sea is very deep? Some places a mile deep. Did you know from the bank of the shoreline it's a 45 degree drop? A mile deep? There's no way. 45 degree angles? Can you imagine taking your wagons and your sheep and your cattle and all your possessions and your children down a 45 degree incline? A mile down and then across and then up a 45 degree? It's like, God, hind feet or not, I can't do that. So they began to look around, and here's what they found. In the precise spot where he found the chariot wheels, he found an underwater land bridge. Yeah, a land bridge under the water. It was only 850 meters beneath the surface. And this land bridge, if exposed by the supernatural actions of God, would have allowed for a gradual descent and would have been wide enough to allow the entire populace of over 2 million people and all their goods and all their herds in one evening. Now, can you imagine? Here they are, trapped. Come on, say trapped. Some of us feel like we're trapped. There's no way, God, I'm trapped. I'm up against the wall. There's no way out of this. Trapped. And God led them there in the first place. God, why would you lead me into a trap? God says, I want you to see what I see. Under the surface of your experience is a land bridge. Where? Moses, lift up your rod. Believe with me, and you shall see the power of God, the mighty hand of God. Moses is like, God, if you don't do this, I'm toast, because these people are going to kill me. I don't think he was a great man of faith to go, see, part. He was like, under his breath, oh God. And suddenly the wind began to blow, and this natural phenomenon created this wall of water and exposed the land bridge that was under the surface that up until that point they could not see because they were entrapped. Entrapped. Let me ask this question. What are you not seeing under the surface of your circumstance that God has already prepared for you, that if you'll just trust the Lord, lift His word up to the heavens and declare that my God is a mighty God and He always creates a way where there is no way. And suddenly, there they walked across the land bridge on dry ground. God didn't want their new shoes all muddy. He even dried it out for them. They got over to the other side, and as the Egyptian army was commanded to go pursue them, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. You see, what happened as they pursued them, the collapse of the walls came, and it drowned the elitist army in the world. Ron Watson, his brother, his two sons, their brothers, dove with their daddy and found the wheels as evidence. Because what they tried to do outside the covenant of God didn't work for them, even though they saw what the covenant of God did for them. You see, God is going to make a way for you, church. When you think you are up against it and you feel like there is no way, I want you to be encouraged today because you are destined to be on the other side. You are destined to be on the other side. God is, I'm going to prophesy this, God is removing wrong people out of your life right now. Woo! Come on, receive it. God is taking wrong people out of your life. Why? Because they're preventing you from seeing the way. The way is there, but you can't see it because they're in your face. God said, I'm going to move them out of the way. And when I move them out of the way, you're going to see the way that I've made for you that's just beneath the surface. God's fighting your battles. God's going to make up for lost time in your life. Don't think that, don't live in regret that you're too old and it's gone too long. No, God can turn it around in a moment's notice. He'll make up lost time and He'll guide you to where you're supposed to be. Some of you are growing deer feet as I preach. Don't look down, it's going to scare you. God wants to take the crooked places out of your life. You've got to resist self-pity. Say this with me, self-pity.
Self-pity.
I resist you
in Jesus'
name.
Jesus.
Say this with me, my God.
Has already lined up
new beginnings,
new
friendships,
new
opportunities,
and
new
ways.
You have to begin to believe that and confess that and declare that. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this kind of anointing. It's kind of a new anointing. It's called a pushover anointing. Have you heard about it? Let me illustrate. When I was 50 years of age, just a few years ago, I decided I was going to jump out of an airplane. You heard me say that story. And I had to sign everything away. They give you a 30-minute video of how you can die doing this. And I signed the paper. I said, got it, no problem. Then he signed away all your insurances. And I was going to make my wife a very poor widow, because you're not supposed to do that, because insurance won't cover you if you splat. So I signed that away, and on my way to the airplane, there was 12 of us or so, and we were in Hawaii. What a great place to do skydiving over Oahu. Beautiful scenery, especially at 13,000 feet. And as I'm walking in the plane, I ask, do we get any training for this? And he said, well, here you go. When you get to the end of the airplane and you go to the door, just waddle over there like a duck and step up to the edge. And when I say jump, you jump. Now, what I want you to do is put your head on your shoulder and arch your back as much as you can. If you don't do that, we're going to go into a tumble and we're both dying. You got it? I said, I got it. So he said, get on the plane. So I was on the plane. I don't know how I ended up the first jumper, but I was the first jumper. Now, the only reason why I was on that plane doing this, I don't even know why. I had a brief moment of insanity. I don't know why I was doing it. But I watched people go and come and jump and walk back. I'm like, if they did it, I can do it. And I'm looking around and I'm noticing that everybody's a lot younger than me. So I get up to the plane, 13,000 feet. Pilot said, okay, it's a go. We got 1 minute of window. Get everybody out. Jump. So the guy that's attached to me said, that's your call. Get up there. I'm like, he said, when I say jump, jump. I said, got it. He said, jump. I said, now? And all he did was like this, now. And I went, Geronimo! It was great. But how many know I needed that gentle hand to push me over? Some of you need a pushover scripture. You're right on the edge. Right at the place of your breakthrough, right there to go through the way, but you're just hesitant and all you need is a gentle push. You got to look for a pushover scripture when you're standing in faith. Here's one for you. Deuteronomy 9, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in and dispossess the nations greater and mightier than yourself. Cities great and fortified up to heaven. A people great and tall. Descendants of the Anakim. Did you hear about that? Yes, you signed off your insurance. Yes, you could die doing this. Yes, it's a very dangerous thing. That's what God was telling them. He didn't deny the fact that there were giants in the land. He said, you've even heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today, the Lord your God is He who goes before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you will drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. That's a pushover scripture. Doesn't look like I can do this in the natural, but God just pushed me over. Sometimes, you know, you need to get your little push going. You get up in the morning and you got all kinds of circumstances. You just need to push yourself forward. And if you can't do it, ask somebody to do it for you. Have somebody just push you a little bit. I want to push you. That's what I'm trying to do right now, is just push you in towards faith. I want to push you towards the promises of God. I want to push you towards the way. I want to push you to believe that your feet can transform right before your eyes spiritually. And God will make a way. Put up my confession, please. I want you to declare this with me. Come on, everybody get up on your feet. I know God can do the impossible. Come on, put that scripture up there if you will, or that thing. All right, you ready? I want you to lift up your hands with me. I want you to make this as a battle cry, and that you're going to the other side, that you're going to experience the way of the Lord. Are you ready? Come on, let's say it. I know God can do the impossible. I may not see a way, but I know God has a way. I believe God is going before me right now. Ooh, I like that. He's lining up the right people to come across my path, taking away the wrong people, breaking every force of darkness, and giving me wisdom to fulfill my destiny. Amen. Woo! Yeah, Jesus. Now, here's what I suggest you do. Get your camera phone out and take a picture of that, because you're going to need this tomorrow when you can't see the way. Come on, get your phone out and take a picture of it. Take a picture of it. Everybody's got a camera phone. Take a photo of it. I know God can do the impossible. I may not see a way, but I know God has a way. Amen? Come on, He's lining up right now the right people to come across my path. You're about to experience some new friendships and new relationships in your life. They're going to take you to the next level. You're about to experience some people in your life. They're going to give you a gentle shove on the back of your, between your two shoulder blades. They're going to give you that gentle push to get you out of the plane, to get you out of fear, to get you out of a place where you've been stuck. Because God has a way for you, because you are destined to go to the other side. Amen. All right, give somebody a fist bump and you could be seated. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. I was encouraged when I saw all those people jump out of that airplane and land safely. I was encouraged when they walked back and said it was great. I was discouraged when I saw people heaving on the corner, collapsing, and others going, oh, don't do it. I already had the parachute strapped on. And then I thought about something. I just saw 20 people successfully go up in a plane, jump out, and come back safely. What's the percentages of those that don't? Wait a minute, I'm the next plane load. All of a sudden now, there's a risk factor that I could be a part of. If all of them made it safe, and so many people don't make it back, according to how many jumped, can I find out how many jumped before me, just to make sure that I'm not in that percentile of high risk? Do you know, if I would have done that, I would have never got on the plane. If you make provision for negativity, if you make provision for what ifs, everybody say what if.
What if?
You got to get the what if out of your brain. Amen. You know why? Because the what ifs interrupt the miraculous. Amen. Say that with me. The what ifs interrupt the miraculous. Say it again. The what ifs interrupt the miraculous. Let me show this to you. If you got that, everybody's taking pictures. I feel like I'm a celebrity. Go to Mark chapter, I believe it is 6. Is that the next scripture? I can't remember. Yeah. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few people, sick people, and healed them. Why couldn't Jesus do mighty works? Unbelief. The next verse, verse 6 says their unbelief. They believed they were in that percentile of risk, and rather than jump, rather than go, rather than walk, rather than believe that God will transform my feet into hinds feet, even though this way doesn't make sense, even though there must be a way under the surface and I'm going to hold back because I'm not crossing, what if the water falls while we're halfway in the middle? It's that unbelief. And God says, you know what, those kinds of thinking, that kind of thoughts, the what if kind of thinking, I can't do any miraculous things. I've got to get out of my life and out of my system the what ifs. The what if God doesn't do it? What if this time it doesn't work? What if no one will support you? What if they don't come back? What if nobody will believe in you? What if, what if, what if? If you don't get the what ifs out, the miraculous, it's like hitting a wall and it can't reach you. So that's why I gave you that confession. I'm saying, God, my day is growing brighter and brighter every day. God, I thank you that you are about to do amazing things in my life. And if you notice that scripture in Deuteronomy 9, he said, I'm going to do it quickly. Say that word, quickly. I like quickly. Yeah, I like that. I get my oatmeal and it's 1 minute, it's done. It's quickly. I like that. God said, I'm going to do some things for you quickly. It's called the quicker anointing. And in this day and age, we need a quicker anointing. Things that have been long standing, boom, quicker anointing. Things that have taken us forever in the past, boom, quicker anointing. God's going to do some miraculous, quick things for you and me. You're going to get out of trouble quicker. You're going to get out of debt quicker. You're going to get out of debt quicker than what Dave Ramsey says. Because some of you have limited yourself to what Dave says. How about if you open up your future to what God says? And he will do it overnight. You're going to accomplish your dreams quicker. You're going to be healed quicker. Well, the doctor says it's going to take you 6 months to rehab that knee. Not in my time clock. You ought to see what's in these shoes right here. They might look like feet, but they're deer's feet. You want to see? God can take 6 months of rehab and condense it to half the time. Healed quicker. Rehab quicker. Out of debt quicker. Marriage restored quicker. Get off drugs quicker. You don't need to go to some rehab place for 9 months and spend thousands of dollars. You get in the presence of God and God said, boom, quick work, you're free, go. I like the young man not long ago was saved, baptized. He said, I've been smoking marijuana for 10 years. Every day of my life I've been high. I gave my life to Jesus the other day at your church and doggone it, I haven't even desired marijuana. I said, good, give what you were spending in marijuana to missions. Quick anointing. Quick anointing. We need some quick anointings. It was a day like no other day. Plane took off like every other plane in America. Thousands of flights every day. Sometimes there are 2,000 or 3,000 planes in the air over America at any given moment going every direction and they keep them safe somehow. But this day, after takeoff, some unusual thing took place. You probably read about it. A flock of birds hit the engine intakes and suddenly they lost power. 150 people on board. The only place to land that plane safely and have a chance was to set it down belly up on the Hudson River. But this pilot wasn't an ordinary pilot. He was a certain pilot for a certain day, for a certain situation. Perhaps you've heard about him. His name was Captain Sullenberger. Up to this day, nobody knew about Captain Sullenberger except those at NASA. At NASA, he was a safety coordinator for them. helping them in aviation to do it right and to do it safe for many years. Most people didn't know that Captain Sullenberger was also an expert at glider planes and had flown them for 36 years. Gliders, if you don't know it, don't have engines. So when the flock of birds came into the intake of those engines, those big old Rolls-Royce engines, providing all that thrust and lifts all that weight into the air, Captain Sullenberger thought, well, this is just like glider pilot experience. Let me see where I can put this baby down. Oh, there's a river. And suddenly a way came out of no way. See, God's not caught by surprise over your trouble or your problem. He's already got a solution. Now, if I was on board that airplane, I didn't know Captain Sullenberger from any other captain. All he said was, good morning and welcome to such and such an airlines. I find my seat, get comfortable, get ready to take off with my seat back up and my tray table in locked position. And suddenly, bam. It's at that moment I wanted Captain Sullenberger flying my plane. He took that tumultuous experience, brought it down safely, and all 150 plus people were saved. Now let me just give you the analogy in the kingdom of God. Your life may have just lost engine power. A tragic situation may have occurred. Well, let me tell you who's flying your plane. Jesus Christ is sitting in the pilot seat. And not only is he an expert in planes with engines, but he is an expert when there's no natural power to get a plane to be where it needs to be. Because he doesn't need anything natural to do something supernatural. And I want to encourage you today that you pick the right time to fly. Because had anybody else been assigned to that flight, you'd be in big trouble. You might have put your trust in man. You might have put your trust in drugs. You may have put your trust in money. You may have put your trust in religion. You may have put your trust in man. But sweetheart, there's still time right now before takeoff to get the right captain in your seat. Because no matter what comes your way, God is able to do exceeding abundant, above and beyond all that we could ever think or ask. And no matter what the devil tries to do to destroy, God will make a way. No matter how many times the devil calls you out, God calls you safe. You stay put. Stay in faith. Stay in healing. Stay in belief. Stay in prosperity. Don't waver. Don't quit. And don't walk in unbelief. This plane's coming down and we're about to make history. I'll never forget the sight when I saw it, plane floating in the Hudson River. People standing on the wings. Everybody called him a hero. If we can call a man created like you and me a hero, how much more can we call the man Christ Jesus your hero in all things? That God is able, amen? God is able, amen? Come on. Church, God sees the big picture. From the front row to the back row, from the far left to the right, God knows what's in your future. Every setback, every disappointment, every danger. You say, well, why wouldn't God just divert those birds from those engines? It's a good question, isn't it? It's an amazing thing how we want to first blame God for what took place rather than trust our pilot. Look, I don't know why those birds got in the way. I feel sorry for them. Those poor birds, they were nice birds. I feel sorry for the little mama bird and the papa bird that thought their baby bird was coming home tonight, but the little baby bird got sucked up in the engine. Nobody said that. Everybody's like, ah, we're going to die! Till you find out that Captain Sullenberger is your pilot. And I just declare over you today, you are not going to die, but you're going to live. You're not going to be mediocre, you're going to be great. You're not just going to make it through, you're going to thrive. Because that's the plan of God for your life in every situation. He's given you a pushover scripture and a pushover preacher. I'm just a big pushover. You get close enough and I'll push you right over. Not in a negative way, in a positive way. I want to push you over. Just gently push somebody on the shoulder next to you and say, you feel that? Say, you feel that? That's God telling you it's all right. Come on, keep moving forward. God will make sure you're in the right place at the right time with the right people at the right moment. Why? Because He's crossing ahead of you. How many believe that? Amen? Amen. How many believe you're going to trust in their pilot, Jesus? You're going to trust in Him? Come on, shout it. Hallelujah. All right, one last time, if you can put that confession up. I want to just declare it one more time over you, because some of you are going through some hellish moments right now. Some of you are standing at the doorway and you're thinking, I'm up 13,000 feet. What was I thinking? And you just need a pushover. You need to believe that God is for you and how much He really loves you. T and I are absolutely amazed at each of you. We stand in amazement over the lives of those that God has brought to this place. We are so thrilled to be with you and hang out with you. You got to believe that God is for you, all right? Come on, let's say it again. Ready? Say it. I know God can do the impossible. I may not see a way, but I know God has a way. I believe God is going to go right now, and He's lining up the path to cross me. Taking away the wrong people, breaking every force of darkness, and giving me wisdom for my destiny. Would you bow your heads with me? Bow your heads with me. Father, right now, Lord, there's people in this room who are up against the banks of the Red Sea. They're in trouble. They need a way out. Man, if that's you, would you just do me a favor? I want you to stand, because we're going to pray a miraculous intervention of God over your life. That's you just right now. Stand before the Lord. Father, you see men, women, young boys, young girls standing in the glorious presence of the Almighty God. And just like Moses lifted up the word and said, stand and see the salvation of our God. I believe, Father, that you're going to show them something that they never thought possible. I'm believing, God, that darkness will be pushed back, that every negative thought will be eradicated from their thinking, that they will cling to that which is good and let go, Father, of the past. Thank you today, Father, that they have entered rest into the Holy Spirit to know that God before you, who could be against you? I'm praying now, Father, for health breakthroughs. I'm praying for financial breakthroughs. I'm praying, God, for spiritual breakthroughs. We bind every force, principality, power, every entity in wicked places. We command you to loose your grip, to let go of God's people. Fear, we command you to go. We have no fear here. Jesus is the captain in our journey, and we trust Him. We trust His experience. We trust His understanding. We trust in His ability. Now, Father, would you just do a miraculous work in the lives of those that are standing? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We've got two things to do. I'm going to ask Pastor Troy to come, and then he's going to introduce Jim. And I don't know if Mary's going to help, but they're going to talk to us about heaven's gates and hell's flames, September 21st, 2nd, and 3rd. We're going to reach out to families. We're going to see hundreds saved, hundreds. But before we do that, missions is a vital part of what God's doing in the earth. And we want to receive a special missions offering. I don't know if you saw recently Joel Osteen's special on TBN out of New York City. Yankee Stadium Over 50,000 people filled that stadium to hear a message of hope. Can you imagine that? 35,000 people stood to give their life to Christ. This is a time for harvest. Harvest. August 9th, and maybe Troy will tell you about this, but at the Akron Bowl, there's going to be 24-hour prayer and worship concurrent with the gay games in Cleveland. Because we know that this isn't necessarily something you do to confront as much as you do in love to intercede. There's some powerful things that are happening. Caitlin O'Connor from your congregation is getting ready to leave to go to Germany. She's painted for us during the worship. I don't think she was here this morning, but she's going to use her artistic gift with YWAM, Youth with a Mission in Germany, to reach out to the lost in that European country whose percentage of churchgoers are less than 5%. But God's going to use her. We're going to send her. We're going to hear good reports. And so you're giving to that. Our love center. My goodness, it's being stocked. Mike and Trina have given us a place to operate from. We've got food out in the West. Miraculous things are happening. I gave you the testimony last week about a grandmother that came in for prayer of a baby whose intestines were on the outside at birth. And just a simple prayer of faith. And 3 weeks to the date, the grandmother testified and said, "My baby went home." Miraculously, God touched him. These are opportunities for us to give. And I want us to prepare our very best offering. And Pastor Troy, would you come and administrate this? Tina and I have another wedding right after this service, and it's in Vermilion. And so we've got to drive from here to Vermilion as quickly as we can. So please excuse us if we run out. We're not trying to avoid you, but we need to do that. And then those of you that we're going to do it here as well, but if you're interested in the Supernatural School of Ministry, I'm telling you, you get involved in that school. It's going to change your life. If you can't come on Saturday, we'll get you the DVDs. But tonight we're doing a cookout in Lorraine. For anybody that's interested, we'll do another one out here. But if you want to come tonight, I'll be there at 6 o'clock after the wedding. And we'll be together to share the vision of this ministry. But get involved in it. Get your application in it. Let's change a culture. Let's change a nation for the glory of God. Amen? We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll see you next time. Pastor Troy, would you take this offering, please?
Amen.
Thank you. Is my book up there?
Is your book? Right. Come on, give your pastor a great big hand, Church on the North Coast.
See ya. Gotta run, gotta drive.
So as Pastor shared, there are so many opportunities for us to sow to. What we'd like to do is consider like giving the equivalent of a latte, one latte per week, and then add that up at the end of the month. It's about $20. If every one of us gave $20 once a month to missions works, we could do some amazing things, and we continue to do that. There's so much mission work going forward. And so let's pray for that, and then Jim's going to come forward. And Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames is another missions outreach opportunity. It's local, and it's something you can get involved with, and he's going to explain that, and then he's going to pray for us. But let's pray for your giving as Jim comes now. Father, we thank you for every seed sown, for the mission, the great commission that you've given to us to reach this lost world with your love. We bless it now, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jim a great big hand as he comes.
Beloved, we talked last week, and I know this is not an accident of timing. It's no coincidence. We don't believe in that in this house, that all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord, who called according to his purpose, and that's us. And I know many of you are up against it. Actually, the reason I was late to service today, I was called on another ministry down in Kent and drove up here for this because this is this important, that I actually started to tear up thinking about the burdens on your heart. The Lord lets me feel these burdens because I minister at a hospice for the dying poor. He lets me feel their pain. I feel yours. How much more the gift we have of this pastor, this house, this body, we get to edify each other, lift each other up. And I promise you, those involved in this drama, we're going to edify and fire up and energize our own house in this church within the wider global body of Christ. I promise you. And we're going to do a roll call, but who's going to sign up for this thing? But it's going to be changing for the region, changing for families. It will alter destinies, and there'll be great rejoicing in heaven, I promise you. We're going to do that call in a minute. We're going to have a prayer over it. But I do want to say that I do feel this thing. The Lord lets me feel these things from time to time, and it just was heavy on my heart. So I know what you're praying on. You've been praying for a long time for a lot of people, family members, co-workers, wayward sons and daughters, wayward spouses. They're coming home to the kingdom. They're coming home here. There's restoration. It's going to happen. So at this time, I'd just like to say a prayer over those. Let's close our eyes. And those that want to stand for this to serve in the ministry, I'm going to ask to do it. Father God, for such a time as this, there's no more out of season. You say be instant in season and out of season. Well, I personally believe there's no more out of season. It's over. The evils and the darkness and the times and the trumpets of the sound of God in Revelation are about to blow in abundance, Lord. So now is the appointed time of salvation. So who, Lord, is ready to give a 4 days of their life to serve, to change destinies in the region, within the house of God, lift each other up, encourage, exhort, comfort, and come against the forces of darkness? Who's willing to pay that little price to have a few speaking parts and non-speaking parts? I ask you, Lord, that you make those people stand right now and be willing, and they're going to go to the sign-up table and commit, and their yes will be yes, and it'll be a great and mighty thing for the kingdom of God. I say in Jesus' name, amen. So, who's willing to stand up and be counted for God in the ministry on this thing? We need speaking parts and non-speaking parts right there at the table. The yellow sign-up sheets are for speaking parts. The orange are for non-speaking. And there will be an instruction on the schedule, which is on a Friday night. I think it's the 19th or whatnot. That Friday, 7 to 9. Saturday, 9 to 4. From Sunday, from service all the way into the night, there'll be practice. There'll be meals provided. And then Monday and Tuesday night. So two places. Okay, there are two places. I'm sorry. So there are the sign-up sheets. And you're welcome to sign up now. We need you to sign up and make a commitment for the Lord. And we thank you for it. And it's great. And the Lord's going to be greatly honored by your service. Thank you. And this time I want to just say a prayer. And as we conclude and go ahead with our weeks, I'm just thankful that we're in this house and we're doing this thing together. This thing for eternity. Because look around. Look at your neighbor to the right and to the left. Say, you're family. Tell them you're family. Family for eternity. We're going to run around with each other up there. Visit each other's mansions. Sit on park benches in heaven. Father God, there may be people right now carrying the burden too heavy to even go on. I'm feeling it again, Lord. It's heavy. Some of these people are carrying a heavy thing. I ask if you need the prayer of intercession, you're going to have the altar ministers here. They're going to intercede for you. They're going to come against the forces of darkness in agreement with you. And the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you're going to be set free of that thing. You don't have to carry the burden. You cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and honor for this day. We just thank you that you're going to just bless us mightily this week as we come and have opportunities to bear fruit for you in the kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, so let's all stand to our feet. Altar ministers are going to make their way forward. If you need prayer today for anything, we believe that God is the God of the miraculous. There's nothing He can't do. We pray that you go in the power and the love of the Lord this week. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week and let Him talk through you. If you need prayer, please come. We'd like to pray for you. God bless you.